You know, in California, we have some great clear blue skies. There were some great pictures on some of the slides that Steph prepared for us earlier today. You don't often see white fluffy clouds like this, but in England, where I grew up, the clouds were often fluffy like this, and as children, and also when my children were little, we would lie on our backs looking up at the clouds, trying to see what we could spot in the clouds. Maybe it was an animal, maybe it was an object, but we'd look in the clouds and see what we could see. And there was no right answer. We had the freedom to be as creative as we could be. But when I look at an artist's painting, I don't have quite that creativity when I look at it. I tend to look at a painting and say, what did the artist paint? What did the artist intend me to see? But you know, good art really evokes both our minds and our emotions. A friend said to me, if I tell you what's in that picture, then that's all you will ever see. Because explanations box us in and they suppress our creativity. When we were doing the John Bible study, the women, this last year, as we were studying the Gospel of John, we had a segment each week where we looked at art that was related to that scripture story and asked us, how does this piece of art help us to see this scripture in a different way? What does it evoke in us? Well, Jesus used parables to teach, and he left us to struggle. Because a parable doesn't just have one meaning. A parable turns and twists our thinking upside down. And we often see some different things in it from when we looked at it at a previous time. It's to be experienced as well as studied and interpreted. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the farming parables that are in Matthew chapter 13. There's three of them that we're going to look at. So listen. Let anyone with ears listen. The first one comes from the beginning of the chapter, Matthew 13, verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat down beside the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he climbed into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd was standing on the shore, and he said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. And as he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep, but when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked them. And other seed fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, 60 to 1. And in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. And then it carries on a few verses later with an explanation. Consider then the parable of the farmer. Whenever people hear the word about the kingdom and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown on the path. As for the seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word and immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last only for a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. As for the seed that was spread among thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted on good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand and bear fruit and produce. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. And in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. So let us pray. God of life, by the power of your Spirit, come to us now. Plow our hearts with your living word, until we who are broken become fertile with your love, for we long to bear fruit in a world that is wasting. We pray in the name of Jesus, whose charge we bear. Amen. Well, when we listen to a parable like this, we tend to put ourselves in the parable and say, what are we? Are we the seeds? Are we the soil? We treat it as an allegory. We tend to think of ourselves as the different types of soil, as different types of people. And we internalize ourselves as to what we would like to be. We would like to be the good soil, the seeds that grow up in the good soil. And if we do that, then we look at some other people and we say, oh, but you're not in the good soil. You're on the path. You're on the rocky ground. You're growing amongst the thistles. And we can be pretty judgmental sometimes. But if we're truly realistic and think about ourselves, you know, sometimes we are growing in the good soil, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes it's us that's the rocky ground or on the path. Or in amongst the thistles. And if we're, how do we go from being on rocky ground to being on good soil? Rocks can't suddenly become good soil. So you kind of get a bit stuck as you think about this parable. But what if we think again? Maybe there's another perspective. Because Jesus called this the parable of the farmer, the parable of the sower. And you know, farmers understand where they should sow seeds. They know that you don't throw seeds on rocky ground because they know that that seed's not going to grow. They know not to sow it on a path because they know the seed is not going to grow. It wasn't any great big surprise that the seeds on the path didn't grow. It wasn't a big surprise that the seeds amongst the thorns didn't grow. I think what the surprise in this parable was, the surprise was that the farmer sowed the seeds there in the first place. Farmers in those days were not rich. Seeds were a valuable commodity. This wasn't a wise choice. It wasn't effective, efficient. There'd be so much wasted seed. And yet this farmer is behaving as though what is precious is in unlimited supply. What on earth is he thinking? He's just throwing his money away. You know, we think of good stewardship as guarding our money and our gifts. But in this parable, if we think of God as the sower and the seed as the word, what God does is important. He's extravagant, he's exuberant, and he's generous, and he's not judgmental. God just sows those seeds indiscriminately everywhere, and he doesn't judge what the results might be. And perhaps we shouldn't either. Maybe we're being called to sow the seeds regardless, because you never know. Can you tell by just looking at someone? You know, you were here because someone was reckless enough to scatter and throw seed to you. And if we don't waste the seed, then there's so many people that we won't reach. When I was back in England, in the last house we lived in before we moved here, there was a prison. It was about 10 miles up the road. And it was what they call an open prison, which meant it didn't have walls around it. And the prisoners could, if they chose, just walk out. Of course, they would get arrested if they did. And they sent people there that came that were towards the end of their sentences. It was where the lifers ended up And you don't get to prison and serve a life unless you've done something really wrong. And they were trying to rehabilitate them so that they could release them back into society. And we lived in a small market town, as I said, about 10 miles away. And in this market town, we had a market every Saturday. And our church chose, we were right in the center of the town, to open our doors every Saturday. We had a coffee morning. We had a bookstall. I think I've told you some of this story before, but not this part. And as a number of places in the town did, we were asked whether we would take a prisoner to work for a few hours a week on a Saturday morning, in our case, in our church. And so we did. And we had worked with a couple of these prisoners, and they got to the end of that. We had them for about a year. And at the end of their time, they were allowed to come over on a Saturday morning. And then at the end of their end of their sentence, they were released back into society. Well, we were on, I think it was our third prisoner, and we'd said goodbye to him. And 6 weeks later, we learnt that he had reoffended, and he was back in jail. And this threw our church into somewhat of a crisis. But it was through much prayer and discernment that we decided that we were going to carry on with this program. We decided that it was important that we spread the seeds. The growth was not up to us. What was important was that we planted the seeds. Because spreading seeds is not always successful. It's risky. It takes a willingness to make mistakes. Wasting time and energy is part of the creative process. Because without those seeds being sown, there's no chance that they will grow. And that's true of us as churches as well. If we want a church that truly welcomes the young and the old, the able-bodied and the differently abled, women and men, straight and gay, citizen and immigrant, and from many, many different cultures, then we need to take risks and try new things. We need to talk about difficult topics. We need to let go of some things and embrace other things. We need to use everyone's gifts, not passing judgment on what type of soil that we're sowing in and what type of soil they are. But the story has great good news in it because it has a promise. God sows everywhere. God reaches us wherever we are. And did you hear what it said about the harvest? It says the harvest is of miraculous proportions, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You know, even those seeds on the path can sometimes grow. Think of the plants that you see in the cracks that spring to life in some amazing, unusual places. All it needs is the right conditions, and plants will spring to life. Fruit bearing happens not just through our intellectual understanding, but by living and being and experiencing the gospel. So let me ask you this morning. What seeds do each of you have? Are you guarding them or being generous? Are we scattering them indiscriminately around Byron, Discovery Bay, and Brentwood? How do we become Miss Rumphius, as I read to the children? You must do something to make the world more beautiful. Where are you going to plant lupins? Where are you going to plant the seeds? What's Byron going to look like, or Brentwood, or Discovery Bay? Because we are bearing fruit. Because together we're bearing fruit. You know, we're called to be disciples who make disciples. Fruit has seeds inside of it. And so we grow from a seed and we develop and we become fruit, and then there's seeds inside of that and we plant those seeds, and so it continues. We become disciples and we make disciples. We're called to live abundantly. And when we do, God can bring a bigger harvest or return in our lives than we have ever thought imaginable. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I want to share with you now a story about a man called Wilson Kimeli Nyoma, who lived in Kenya, and he was part of the Maasai tribe. And this is what sowing seeds extravagantly looks like in practice. It's about a small gift on a global scale, just a tiny seed, but it takes root around the world and bears great fruit. When Kimeli was growing up, his biggest dream was to own a cow, because the Maasai believed a cow is life. And without cows, they would starve. Well, Kimeli worked hard in school, and eventually he won a scholarship to the United States to study. He studied first in Oregon, and then he got a place at Stanford to become a doctor. And he was in the United States, actually visiting New York, on September 11th, 2001. And he wanted to help afterwards, but he had no idea how. And it was 8 months later when he had returned to Kenya, and he'd saved up enough by then to buy a cow. And he got back there, and all the children are gathering round, and he said, "Do you have any stories to tell us?" And he said, "Yeah, I've got a story." And so they gathered under the acacia tree, and he told them the story that burnt a hole in his heart. He told them of buildings so tall that they can touch the sky. He told them of fires so hot that they can melt iron. And he told them of smoke and dust so thick that it could block out the sun. And the story ends, he told them, with more than 3,000 souls that are lost. And then he asked the elders of his tribe for permission to give away his cow, his most precious gift, because he knew that to heal a sorrowing heart, you give something that is dear to your own. And the elders gave him permission to give away his cow. And so they invited the American ambassador over, and he came to meet with the elders of the tribe. But as he approached them, he realized that everybody had gathered. The whole tribe was there, all dressed up in their ceremonial clothes, over 100 people there. And so he came to meet with them. And to his surprise, they gave him not one cow, but 14 cows. They had been so touched by Kimeli's story that other elders had come forward to donate their cows too. They said they were giving them because there is no nation so powerful that it cannot be wounded, and not a people so small that they cannot offer mighty comfort. And the story of those cows became known in the news at that time. The cows are still in Kenya being raised, and they're now 35 cows, I believe, or more, because they have bred. And they continue to be a symbol of hope. And indeed, just this photo was taken May 18th this year, and it's a preview of the flag that was painted to tell this story, and it's hanging at the National September the 11th Memorial Museum. So every bag of hope, every comfort and joy basket, every crock pot brigade meal, every can of food collected in the barrel, every packet of food given away on a Tuesday morning, every insect net purchased, every scholarship to camp, every vegetable grown, is a life changed. It's a fruit. It's part of the harvest. And the good news is that our God is an indiscriminate sower. Our extravagantly wasteful sower God never gives up on us and calls us to take risks and to be equally generous in mission. Ultimately, against the odds, God's seed bears fruit. And we have that promise of abundant fruit in our lives, because a tiny seed can take root and bear great fruit. Let anyone with ears listen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, teach us to be reckless sowers, scattering the seeds of the gospel in the most unlikely places. Fill us with the spirit and joy of wasteful generosity. Enable us to be a church that is together making the world more beautiful. May we lay claim to your promise that the harvest is great. Amen.